answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So many of you asked the question many times, could you pass the rule? I understand why you asked the question, but now I just want to let you know that the rule has passed, and let's understand what the rule is. That means we'll be bringing up four of the appropriation bills we've been trying to do since July. Finally, we got the members together to be able to make that happen. If we're able to finish those four along with the ones we already, that would make it 73% of all the discretionary funds that we're supposed to appropriate for this time. Now, if anybody could answer the question, how much has the Senate passed? How many appropriation bills? Oh, that's zero. No, that's not true. We have passed. So you're wrong. Go back to school on that one. The Senate has done nothing this entire time. The House will continue to act and lead to make this happen.
I love it. That's Senator Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, and he's scoring a point for Republicans and conservatives in general and independents and many Democrats. Because they're standing by, we're going to do something for you, but we're still going to push to close the border. Now, the Senate did do something, or try anyway. They made a leapfrog jump. Chuck Schumer got enough Democrats together to say, let's put something in front of them right now. In other words, I know if we get a bill out first, then what will happen? Well, they didn't. It's not really amounting to a bill. But what we have here with the McCarthy, going all in now on the border issues tied to funding. That's critical. That is one of the key points, in addition to reducing deficit and not overspending again, that hardline conservatives have been wanting. It's a start, but of course the deadline of Saturday still looms, and can they get some additional bills done by then, or will they have to carry over and work through the weekend and kind of pause the clock? Just say, stop the clock, don't let it hit midnight on Saturday. All right, let's break it down for you. First of all, glad to have you on board with us. September 27th, 2023. This is the first hour of two of Larry Connors USA, airing right here, back to back. And of course, while you're listening, we also have streaming video from the studio, and you can see that at Larry Connors USA Facebook or Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook or Twitter, or Rumble. And remember, anything you miss, video or audio, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. It's going to be there for you. I'll remind you also, tonight, the second presidential debate. No, Trump is not going to be there. He's going to be meeting with union members, UAW members in Michigan. And it's pretty good ploy on his part to be talking to workers as opposed to being on the debate stage with those who will be there. Pence, Nikki Haley, a couple of the prime, and I'll go through the list for you later, but I do want to remind you that we will be carrying it for you on News Talk STL. And following that, we'll have some local analysis instead of your national view of it. So it'll be right here for you. Now, I mentioned it's taking place in California. You think, wow, why a Republican debate in California? Well, because they're holding it at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. So that's why. It makes good sense to that extent. So Chuck Schumer also came out today and was saying, trying to get ahead of the McCarthy and the Republicans in general, and saying, look at what we've done.
I urge strongly reasonable members of both chambers to come together to pass this bridge CR and move forward, freed from the hard right extremists who are hell-bent on destroying trust in government.
The clearest path forward is a standard short-term continuing resolution.
There was Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell speaking yesterday after their chamber voted to advance a short-term government funding bill. 19 Senate Republicans voted against that bill. Several House Republicans already coming out against the bill. Florida Congressman Corey Mills posted on X he will vote no on the Senate's continuing resolution, as did Marjorie Taylor Greene. Joining me right now is Georgia Congressman Andrew Clyde, a member of the House Appropriations Committee. Congressman, good to see you. How will you vote on that?
Good morning, Maria. I would be a hard no on any continuing resolution that comes across from the Senate. That's dead on arrival. Anything that continues Speaker Pelosi's spending levels and policy priorities is a non-starter here.
Non-starter for him and for many others. Now, you heard right behind Chuck Schumer, you heard Mitch McConnell representing the Republicans kind of basically also urging, let's do this. As members of the Senate, he's on the wrong side. The gist of the Senate bill, it would fund the government at current levels until November 17. And that is a no-starter. It also includes $6.15 billion in Ukraine aid. Yes, more money for Ukraine. And I just told you yesterday, $25 billion of the money we've spent and sent to Ukraine had not been for the war effort. And in fact, in some cases, helping local businesses that have been destroyed and damaged. Now, I understand helping those folks in that need, but don't we have a lot of small businesses in our country that could use that kind of help? The answer is not just yes, but hell yes. All right, the Senate bill also includes $6 billion in disaster relief. Nothing really flashy, but just trying to say, we got something. See, here it is. It may not be flashy, it's not even shiny, but we got it. And it gives us another 6 weeks to iron things out. So the Senate still hopes to get it passed by tomorrow, or maybe Friday, and then send it on to the House, so that the House then would have until 11:59 p.m. Eastern Saturday to pass it. And, of course, the general attitude is senators are betting that if they jam the House right before the deadline, McCarthy will buckle and bring it to the House floor, where it will likely pass on a bipartisan vote. That's according to The Hill, the publication that follows the politics in the Capitol. I think they are bluffing all the way, and they're going to find out it's not going to work. McCarthy has made it clear he cannot lose what ground he has, and he's not going to. And in fact, he says, again, the border.
In Massachusetts, a state far away from the southern border, where there's not one Republican member from Congress from Massachusetts, the governor has declared an emergency based upon the illegal immigration. The governor of New York tells those who are coming to go somewhere else. The mayor of New York City says it's destroying his city. El Paso mayor says it's about to cripple them. These are Democratic leaders that are calling out for this president to do something. We are going to give Democrats and this president the opportunity to actually do that and keep this government open. And hopefully the Senate will be able to start moving some appropriation bills.
And I think that's going to put enough pressure on Senate members, even though they kind of went along with Schumer, maybe reluctantly, just to show that, yeah, we can make something happen. They also are getting pressure from their constituents about the border. And as you heard McCarthy enumerate, we've got a lot of blue states, blue governors, blue city mayors, New York City Mayor Adams, for instance. They can't seem to handle, obviously, the migrant crisis. I still want to call it illegal crisis. They throw the word migrant in. But it's not moving. It's not going to move. And give you a picture of exactly how it's going down. New York Congresswoman Malliotakis talks about the real New York City reality.
You know, this morning, our city put out an advisory that the people of the city of New York should carry around Narcan with them. That's how bad the fentanyl crisis has gotten. The recommending the citizens of New York walk around with Narcan. We had a one-year-old baby die last week at a daycare center where there was a drug ring in the basement of that facility. Between the bail law of New York that allows drug traffickers and drug dealers back onto our streets and the open border, this is the crisis that we're seeing, unprecedented.
If you're telling your citizens you need to be carrying a can of Narcan because if someone's having fentanyl poisoning or something, if you give that to them right away, it's going to maybe save a life. And then you hear that a daycare center in the basement, they were operating a fentanyl operation. And now you got hordes of illegals coming in, bringing more fentanyl. And they want you to believe that everything is basically the Republicans' fault. That's what they want to keep saying. And it's not just of how they're advising citizens react. It's what they are doing or trying to do in New York City in taking over property and displacing people in place of illegals. Malatakis.
Our mayor has already said that this crisis will destroy New York City. He is well on his way to bankrupting New York City by saying New Yorkers have to pay to provide the housing and every other service for citizens of other countries. Today in court, and I'm part of a lawsuit, the judge in the New York Supreme Court actually struck that down and said that there is no precedent for that. There is no law that says that the mayor needs to provide this housing. So we're urging the mayor to stop and instead tell the president to secure our border. This was a school that's closed, a Catholic school that went to now it's supposed to be a public school, had 1,000 classrooms taken away from our families and turned over to migrants. Yesterday, I was with a 95-year-old veteran who was among senior citizens who were forced to leave an assisted living facility on Staten Island, only so the nonprofit organization that runs it turned around and entered a shady deal with the mayor to provide migrant housing.
Those are some of those NGOs, the non-government operations that step in and make a lot of money because the government's not, quote, doing it, but it's paying for it. Contracting out is how you'd need to look at it. And I want to share with you what they're showing right now in one news report regarding the cost just in New York City, reference illegals. It's estimated New York City gearing up to pay more than That's $1 billion on just hotels over the next 3 years. Yeah, that's what I'm reading. $1 billion over the next 3 years for hotels to house illegal migrants. And of course, the New York City Mayor Adams, looking at the next 3 years, says actually the total cost, not just for the hotels, will be $12 billion. He said, we are past our breaking point. Residents in New York City obviously having enough. Are they blaming Biden? Well, they just have a hard time getting to that point. But the details and the facts are there. And we have a Texas congressman echoing the mantra, no border closing, no funding.
We need the southern border to be shut down. I just came from Eagle Pass yesterday, and if you want to talk about heartbreak and tragedy, meet the woman that was brutally assaulted, kidnapped, separated from her husband, 30 stitches in the back of her head, kicked in the face by cartel members. I blame Joe Biden for that, for allowing the cartels to have operational control of the southern border, for allowing the cartels to smuggle and traffic over 7.5 million people in the last 2.5 years, for allowing over 150 people who match the terror watch list to enter this country illegally just this year. Failed policies, not allowing our Border Patrol agents to actually do the national security mission. Only 10% of our agents right now today are in the field protecting our country from those people who are trying to evade capture.
10%. There are numerous gaps along our border. Now, if you had a border wall, that would have helped. But, of course, Biden immediately stopped that. And yet we're still paying contractors to not build the wall. You were listening then to Texas Congressman Pfluger, and you heard his description of what he saw himself. And he said, I'm not going to stop there. I want you to keep in mind, here's something else that you have to consider when it comes to dealing with the crisis of the border.
I blame President Biden for the 53 migrants south of San Antonio in the July heat that roasted in the back of a tractor trailer. That's not humane. It is his failed policies that have led us to this point. We passed the most comprehensive and the best border security bill in decades. That bill needs to go to the Senate, and the president needs to make a decision. If he wants to keep the government open, he needs to shut down the border.
That's very simple, isn't it? You want the government open? Shut the border. Again, no border closing, no funding. Now, tomorrow, of course, we also begin the House impeachment inquiry. You'll be able to listen to it, watch it, and we'll have highlights of it for you. And Chair Congressman James Comer explains what's going to be happening in the beginning.
Our friends in the mainstream media are trying to create a false narrative that there's no evidence of wrongdoing by Joe Biden, and that's simply not the case. In the beginning, they tried to say there was no evidence of wrongdoing by any Biden, but I think that ship sailed, and the media has finally accepted that the president's son has committed, you know, many crimes, many serious crimes. But this investigation isn't about the president's son. This is about Joe Biden, and that's what we hope to get across the American people on Thursday.
And I think Thursday, tomorrow, we'll begin to see that unravel. And in fact, there have been some other points that have been brought up that have just been learned over the last couple of days that I wouldn't say learned, but then have been distributed and made more evident, more substantial. I'm going to get into those more in the next hour so you can get a better handle on things that have yet to fall. I mean, the dominoes are beginning to fall. We'll have that in our second hour. And also in the next hour, we're going to have Tucker Carlson, joining us on an issue on reference abortion. And before this hour is over, how all of these events, the economy, the border chaos, total ineptness of this administration is going to affect the Biden race. And you know, one of the people who's speaking out about how it's going to affect Biden, that would be James Carville, you know, Louisiana, James Carville, who oversaw the Bill Clinton race. And his basic line, he said, in the beginning was, it's all about the money, stupid. I think he's going to say the same thing again. But coming up next, and you don't want to miss this, there's a new book out, and it raises a question you need to know. You need to answer. Do you have a woke Jesus in your church? Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. B be well with Wellington. I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I mentioned that in the next hour, and you're going to hear a clip coming up here shortly from Tucker Carlson, and it also is going to relate to wokeism. Wokeism is, of course, all around us, constantly attacking your children in schools and on your job and in the military. And you might feel, at least I have a safe place in my home and my church. Whoa, 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 whoa. Maybe not in either one of those. And I mean, especially your church. Joining us now is Lucas Miles. He's a pastor. He's got a great book out. In fact, Miles is been around for a long time talking, is also the host of the Epic Times Church and State. With his program, he's been on with Charlie Kirk, Sean Hannity, and others, and has out a new book titled Woke Jesus, the False Messiah Destroying Christianity. Lucas, glad to have you on board.
Hey, good to be on the program.
So, again, when I mentioned, as you were hearing, folks think, well, when at least when I go to my church, all this stuff can be put aside. I can focus on my faith. What is happening?
Look, I think that the leftists and Marxists in this nation decided that the church was a great distribution method for their message, and there's been a massive infiltration that has taken place across virtually all of our denominations to some degree. And I've argued there's a greater divide today in the American church than even during the Protestant Reformation. Between this worship of a false gospel with a woke Jesus and the true biblical Christ.
I want to get into the distinction in just a moment, but churches have often been a vehicle, and they certainly were among black churches, one for voter organization and fighting the Klan, that kind of thing, and then also was used by the Planned Parenthood founder, Margaret Sanger, and basically telling the black church leaders, pastors, spread the word that if you get pregnant, you don't want to have the baby, this will help, and it will help control population, when it was really an act to eugenics. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, look, this is not the first time the church has been utilized as a propaganda center. We saw that in Nazi Germany with the hijacking of the church there. As our friend Eric Metaxas says, that there were people that were willing to trade the Bible for Mein Kampf and the cross for the swastika. We're seeing that same sort of behavior now. It's actually what I call the true Christian nationalism. You know, conservative Christians get accused of being Christian nationalists because they love God and country. That's not Christian nationalism. That's just called being a good citizen and being a good Christian. But what we're seeing on the left is there is no distinction anymore between the doctrine of, say, the current administration and the doctrine of the progressive church. They have the same view about sexuality, immigration, the same view about open borders, the same view about gender, marriage, etc. There is no difference. Why? Because the progressive church has bowed the knee to this statism, and they are using their pulpit in order to be a mouthpiece, you know, for this current progressive doctrine that we're seeing.
Let me take a side road briefly and then come back to this, because something you said, Mexico has in the past criminalized abortion. Recently it's been decided it will not be criminalized except for about four or five states inside Mexico. A lot of that comes from the Catholic religion, which is entrenched in Mexico, and many of the Mexican citizens and Latin citizens and Spanish citizens, they all believe in no abortion. But now what is happening with those churches and those arenas and the abortion before we get back into the States?
Yeah, I mean, this just shows that this is happening on an international level. There was an infiltration within the Catholic Church in the 1950s and 60s with what was known and still is to this day as liberation theology. Liberation theology, our current pope is a liberation theologian, and liberation theology is a blend of Marxist ideology and Catholicism. And this has really gained a lot of prominence, I think, in various parishes. I'm not Catholic myself, to be clear, but this is something that you know, the Catholic Church has dealt with kind of their own brand of wokeism, and arguably earlier on in the U.S., that jumped to America in the form of black liberation theology, which, you know, eventually kind of has sort of morphed into this and amalgamated into the social justice movement and critical race theory. And it's very hard to kind of distinguish these things, but they're all very similar origins that have, you know, sought to really hijack the doctrine of the church, to use the name of Jesus and use the scriptures as the justification for Marxist ways of thinking.
My gosh, you're the book, by the way, folks, again, Woke Jesus, the False Messiah Destroying Christianity. Now, dealing specifically with the woke Jesus, I mean, how's it being presented inside churches when it's basically just sliding by minds, be they in mm-hmm. Sunday school, the kids, or even the adults in the main worship service?
So, look, we have extreme examples which are much easier to recognize. You know, you see the churches on social media or on the news that are, you know, they're holding drag, you know, queen, yeah, you know, shows at yeah. the church, or the priest is up there with a rainbow, you know, flag or something like that. This is easy to point out for most people. Where it gets challenging is those that are kind of maybe a little bit pulled back on that spectrum, that are pushing woke ideology, but they're doing this under the guise of orthodoxy. And that's where that gets challenging. What we've done is actually we created a website called AmericanPastorProject.org, and we have a statement there that pastors can sign. And one of the best ways you can know if you're at a woke church or not is you bring your pastor the American Pastor Project website, and you say, hey, take a look at this statement. Would you be willing to sign this? And it's a commitment to a biblical view of marriage, sexuality, gender, a biblical view of God as creator, biblical view of the Lordship of Jesus, Trinity, that, you know, historic Christian doctrine. And if your pastor, you know, kind of, you know, pushes back on that, there's a good chance that you're at a woke church. So, you know, this is just one of the resources we've created. But I think you need to know where your pastor stands on marriage, sexuality, abortion, you know, these major topics. And ultimately, where do they stand? Is the Bible, do they believe the Bible is the authoritative, inerrant, God-breathed Word of God? Or is this just a history book with a bunch of lessons? Is it just a, you know, some sort of a pick and choose, you know, verses that you want in order to justify your belief system? You know, where they really stand on historic Christian teaching.
You're listening to Lucas Miles, and I'm going to let you challenge me. I born in Texas, and I often say it's already pre-stamped Baptist on the birth certificate. Later became a Presbyterian, so either I got lost or found. Then the Presbyterian Church had a division, specifically along homosexual lines and positions of leadership, things of that nature. And then I personally have a lot of gay friends, and I love them and I care for them. They are adults. It's their life, not mine. And I don't think I should be judging them. I count God as a judge. Am I wrong for being not in their face? Because I've got members of my own church saying, why are you doing? Why aren't you putting the Bible in their face saying this is against God?
Great question. I think this is a question that probably a lot of people would ask. You know, a couple things on this. First off, as a Christian, I believe that it's imperative that we hold to biblical views and mandates regarding marriage and sexuality. So the biblical position, the position of historic Christianity, is marriage is between a man and a woman, and that heterosexuality is the righteous expression of sexuality that was created by God. Anything outside of that is sin. Now, it's also important to recognize that look, our good behavior is not what makes us saved. We are saved by grace through faith because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now, I don't subscribe to a form of Christianity that I should just go around and individually tell everybody what's wrong with them, how messed up their life is.
So you don't want to judge and condemn them directly.
I'm not trying to condemn them in that way. I believe that God is in the business of trying to rescue sinners from hell rather than send people to hell. He is a rescuer. I can't bend on what scripture says. I can't, you know, if they want to know my opinion about these things, I'm going to tell them.
Right,
I mean, every now and then we have people that will come to our church that are from different backgrounds. We're not trying to run them off, but we cannot embrace, condone, accept their worldview. If they want to embark on a relationship with the Lord, we would say God loves you but you know what? You give me 6 months, 12 months of discipling you in the Word of God. You're going to look back. You're not even going to recognize yourself because the transformation that you're going to go through.
You're accepting the person. You're accepting the person, not what they do.
Love the sinner, hate the sin. It's what Christians have said
exactly,
for a long time.
Exactly. And I know I'm fully a sinner. But, I mean, we've had changes in churches, and we don't have a lot of time left. But, I mean, things that I remember in the Presbyterian church in particular, where I am, they started kind of a more modern, not a rock band type thing, but it had music that appealed more to young people, young Christian artists, and some of the others were said, oh, no, that's not our church anymore. And even the children's choir came out and sang one morning, and when they finished, the people began to applaud for the children. And one woman, as the applause died, could be heard clearly as she turned to her husband and said, this is church, not theater. I'll let you have the final remarks.
Look, as Christians, we should be seeking to unify over what I would call primary doctrine. There are secondary issues that we can debate. We can have preferences. What you're describing, I would say, are tertiary issues. These are third-level things that people get really worked up about, and they've lost sight of the main thing. The main thing is that there is a world that's dying, that's on a crash course for hell, and they need to hear the gospel. And the gospel has the power to transform their life. If we're more worried about the color of the church carpet than we are about saving a sinner who's lost, then I would say that we ourselves are the one who's lost in that moment. The church isn't perfect, but I believe it is God's last-ditch effort to save the planet.
I most certainly say amen. Thank you. Lucas Miles, Woke Jesus, the False Messiah, Destroying Christianity, available everywhere for you. Now, crime. It's growing to an extent you might not even believe. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And I think it's going to be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. Rocket Man, burning out of 2000.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So I mentioned crime as we closed out that segment. That interview, by the way, we just had with Lucas Miles, really great. Again, the name of the book is Woke Jesus, the False Messiah Destroying Christianity. He is an ordained pastor. I'm definitely going to plan on having him back in the future for more details along that line. It's a fascinating subject, and it's right in our face every day now. And part of the woke culture has also led to the fact that if you're burning and destroying businesses in the name of BLM or woke justice or whatever else you want to label it, it's all okay. And it's all okay for you to go in and rob and vandalize a store and just walk out without paying for it because you're entitled. Well, that's causing, obviously, more and more issues that come right behind it. I'm looking at a piece. This was written, let me make sure I've got the right source. Well, this is a piece also written by John Nolte out of Breitbart, but he's very factual on some points here. Let me go down through some of these for you because it's not just the city he's talking about, and you'll realize that as we move through it. He begins by saying big city Democrats have essentially decriminalized crime, and now the mass looting, shoplifting that helped destroy Democrat-run cities like San Francisco, Beverly Hills, Portland, Seattle, Chicago, spreading to Democrat-run Philadelphia. Yep, now the city of brotherly love getting what it voted for. Last night, now this is where we're getting to the facts, aside from his opinion. But you can't argue with what he just described. That is a fact as well. But specifically last night in Philadelphia, more than 100 juveniles started looting various stores in Center City. I've never been to Philadelphia, or it's been decades. You may know where Center City is, but the Foot Locker, Apple Stores, your 15th and Chestnut, a couple other stores all were looted all at one time. There are videos of the looting happening all the time. Most of them, if they're participating, are now covering up their face anyway. They're all posted on social media. They show police trying to arrest people while windows are being smashed right in front of the police, items stolen. And what happened for all this? Well, they want to trace it back to a Philly judge dropped the manslaughter charges against a cop who shot a driver. Body cam footage showed the driver was hiding a knife. The officer says he only saw the knife's black handle. He thought it was a gun. That's his statement. The defense said the charges never should have been filed. The judge agreed, and that's when the looting began. Not even going to argue the merits of the case, go back and forth on it all day long. But then the New York Post put this out. A popular social media influencer known as Meatball live streamed the rabid looting spree engulfing Philadelphia's city center. Before then, she was apparently arrested while cheering on the marauders. Her name has been identified now that she was sharing the video and photos gleefully documenting the mass plunder and also printing out free iPhones, free iPhones. That was also encouraging and exciting. Your First Amendment rights end when you're involved in that kind of action. And she was using social media to do it. Philadelphia police say 15 to 20 were actually arrested. One officer says, or a chief says, some of these were clearly organized. Vehicles moving from store to store, unloading looters who would run in, break in, and go back into the car. And then Target announcing it's pulling 9 stores out of 4 Democrat-run cities. East Harlem, New York City, taking it out. So those folks living in East Harlem won't have a Target store available for them. They were going in buying, purchasing as you normally would and should. But because of this mass looting, they can't stay. They're closing San Francisco, Seattle, Portland. They've been hiring security guards, locking up merchandise, and still, the loss of theft was too high. I'd been reading some of this yesterday on another source, and let me go to that for you. This is CNBC reporting it, how Target's going to close 9 stores in major cities and going to shut them for good October 21. Some are closing almost immediately. Target, in a mass release, which has nearly 2,000 stores in the nation, stated, "We cannot continue operating these stores because theft, organized retail crime, are threatening the safety of our team and guests and contributing to unsustainable business performance." The businesses in retail use the term shrinkage for loss. That normally describes goods that might have been damaged when they were delivered, got misplaced, got shipped somewhere else, or flat out stolen. Still shrinkage. The company, which began about Target, reported fiscal second quarter earnings in mid-May, and the CEO said organized retail crime had shot up at its stores. He added, shrink overall expected to reduce Target's full-year profitability by more than $500 million compared to a year ago. $500 million in 1 year, mostly due to those kinds of mass looting events. Of course, we've had Walgreens, Nordstrom's, and others pull out of various cities and areas as well. When the Michael Brown case took place in Ferguson, one of the events that followed was a local service station was torched. The owners decided not to reopen. We're just not going to do business here. That makes it tough on folks who are just doing the right thing, trying to live their lives, raise their family. If they need a convenience store item and or gas, you don't want to blame the owner. You would do the same thing if you owned the place. All right, I mentioned earlier Tucker Carlson, and you're going to hear more of him in the next hour. But I want you to hear him talk about one thing that folks tend to often forget, what is the most prized possession they have.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The one unalloyed source of joy in your life is your children. The point of life is to have children and to watch them have grandchildren. Nothing will bring you joy like that will. Nothing comes close. Nothing comes close. Would you trade your job for your children? Would you trade anything for your children? Of course not. And so anyone telling you don't have children, kill your children, is not your friend, is your enemy.
That is leading up to the issue, reference abortion, obviously. That was Tucker Carlson speaking. Let me get the exact title of the group so I have it right for you. At the Center for Christian Virtue. It was called to my attention, I want to add, by John Bruner, former candidate for governor on the Republican primary. Said a friend of mine sent this to me and said, you need to see it, and he forwarded it to me. Thank you, John, because not only that bite, but others you're going to hear, I think, are important. I've always stressed, your biggest legacy is not the wealth you accumulated. It's not that you've got empires of buildings all over the world. It's your children. That's really your legacy. And hopefully they're going to be there for a long time, and they're going to multiply. And their legacy will be their legacy. And their children will also be part of your legacy. One of my prayers every night is to be thankful for the parents I had. Children that grew up in a home with one parent, maybe because of an accident or something went wrong anyway, or it's just the way it is. And the one who is there is trying to take care of the kids, also earn money to support them. It's difficult. They need prayer and support. But that means the kids are often unattended, or they're free to kind of get into trouble. I don't care what your ethnic background is, your racial demographic, your belief or no belief in God. If you don't have certain guidelines and morals impressed upon you on a daily basis, children get lost. There used to be a time that judges would have a young defendant in front of them, and they were going to be sending them to jail. That in numerous opportunities, they're going to go to jail. At least juvenile, you know, they're past juvenile, they're going to send them to jail. Or you can enlist in the Army or the Navy or the Air Corps or the Coast Guard or the Marines. They often chose that. And you know what? In most cases, they came out better because finally they had discipline and someone who cared about what they were doing. You're going to hear more from Tucker Carlson coming up in the next hour. I want to share a listener email I got. This is a very detailed, and I'm going to try to cover most of it. Now, some of you are going to get upset as you hear it. So be it. It's actually up on one of my Facebook pages, and the name is listed there as PETA Stores. You can do the research yourself if you're interested. I already did. But here's what this person is saying, and it's to keep in mind, reference the debate coming up tonight. Not specifically aimed at them, but making it clear where you stand and not being wishy-washy. And I'm not saying they're going to be that way. I'm just saying keep it in mind. It begins, if this doesn't make you, or if this doesn't make one sick, nothing will. If all of our representatives want to pretend that they are all so concerned about the people, then why didn't any of you, even you, Gates, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jim Jordan, Kennedy, Boebert, and even you, Chip Roy, along with the rest of our so-called representatives, call for an emergency reconvening of Congress to stop the funding of the UK war, Ukrainian war, with all the billions and trillions of dollars you voted into the budget going to the war efforts and such. Got you ticked off yet? I like Chip Roy. I like Jim Jordan, Gayson. But the point being, all the money is being dumped in over there. Why didn't you call an emergency reconvening to stop the funding? He continues. The writer continues. I am convinced it is a male, but it may have been his wife. Why then didn't you demand it be diverted to disaster relief and border security? You guys all should have volunteered in August to do your job and call each other to come back to D.C., hold a vote to redistribute the funds, allocate the funds to come back home from Ukraine to the USA, and give it to the people of the world who have lost their businesses, homes, families, and friends in natural disasters, such as Maui with the fire and all the Antifa, BLM, and worldwide riots, flooding, and fires. That money needs to come home now. You should have called for an emergency congressional session on your own accord. Let's let that sink in for a moment. I don't know how many times I've raised on this program, and you've done the same. It's not a new idea, and I'm not claiming to be the creator of the idea, but $113 billion, and the Senate now wants to send another $6 billion, and I told you yesterday $25 billion really wasn't needed for fighting the war and fighting the Russians. I'm not saying they don't need additional aid. But I keep looking at what we have going on in this country. In addition to the illegals coming in, and American citizens are losing as they come through the open border. He continues, let me go back to pick it up. He said, the money needs to come home now. You should have called for an emergency congressional session on your own. We shouldn't have to tell you to do what's right by your constituents. You should do that automatically, but you refuse. You were too little, too late with anything you say or do. Why is this taking this so long for an investigation to impeach Biden? And you're still not doing anything about Mayorkas, Ray, and Garland, all of whom committed treason to this country, just like Biden has. You all have shown us your actions, that politics come before we, the people. You should have ordered this inquiry the day you all took control of the House. You are all a disgrace to the people. You put everything else in front of the true needs of we, the people, and we need to vote every single one of you out of office if you do not do the work of the people. I'm not going to make any excuses for some of the delays that have happened, but the ire and the anger is there, the frustration, and I think many of you agree. I do too. I can find some allowances, but that's a statement I'm going to let stand. Remind you that we will be carrying the second presidential debate tonight for you. Also in the next hour, the push for border fund, border closing or no funding, and also COVID, a new COVID. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.